to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell Reed, my co-host, Coen Sheltimer, and our guest this week, novelist Vicky Delaney. Well, Vicky, you've just published or are about to publish new installments of all four of your current cozy series.
That's right.
The new installment of the Sherlock Holmes Bookshop Mysteries will be published in January. But let's start by talking about Scandal in Scarlet. One of the things I always enjoy about this series is how Gemma's character and her sometimes scary skills get her into all sorts of trouble in spite of her good intentions. She's endearing. I really enjoy reading about her. And here she has become involved in a very complex case. Tell us a bit about the story.
I really believe in a cozy mystery. It's important to me, anyway, as a writer, that the amateur sleuth have a reason to be investigating the crimes. So A Scandal in Scarlet is the fourth in the Sherlock Holmes Bookshop mystery series. And what happens in this book, essentially, is that town curmudgeon Maureen McGregor, who owns the art store across the road, is accused of murdering a woman at a charity auction, the tea of which is being held at Mrs. Hudson's Tea Room, which is next door to the Sherlock Holmes Bookshop and Emporium. So Gemma thinks that she has nothing to do with it. She's happy to stay out of it. And this time she's nothing to do with me, she says to everybody this time. But Maureen comes knocking on her door and asks for Gemma's help because she believes that she doesn't trust the police. Maureen doesn't. And Maureen, as I said, is the local curmudgeon. Nobody likes her. She's not very popular. And Gemma has no particular interest in helping her until Maureen says, "Of course, I knew that you're not as smart as everyone says you are." And Gemma recognizes right away what's happening. She says, "The oldest trick in the book." And Maureen then says, "Never mind, don't help me. I know you're not up to it. The police will catch someone else and accuse some other innocent person, and the guilty party will get away. But don't worry, we know you couldn't handle it anyway." So, of course, she then says, "Oh, all right, I'll ask a few questions." And a few questions, of course, leads to getting involved.
And what about the new one? You've already mentioned it.
Yes, so the new one in the Sherlock Holmes Bookshop series is called There's a Murder Afoot. And in that book, which I'm particularly liked writing, the gang is all off to London. And there's lots of touring of London, England, as they rush through the streets a la Sherlock Holmes. And also, I should just mention that Scandal in Scarlet has been nominated for a Bonnie Blythe Award, which is the award given out every year for a Canadian light mystery. They define as a light mystery as mysteries that make us smile.
Oh, that's exciting. So, in the Lighthouse Library series, by your alter ego, Eva Gates, Lucy Richardson, assistant librarian and reluctant sleuth, is once more surrounded by a large and diverse group of family and eccentric friends whose problems include another murder at the library.
Another murder at the library,
there.
Yes.
Tell us about Something Red and Something Dead, which has just been released, and how you create such a swift pace for these, particularly that series. It's quite amazing.
Well, actually, in Something Red, Something Dead, about wedding plans gone awry. And in this case, it's her cousin, who's the bride-to-be, is accused of murdering one of her cousins who's interfering in her wedding plans. So I feel it needs to keep up a fairly rapid pace because it is all set in a small place in a small period of time about people who know anybody. And fortunately, my character doesn't, because she's not a police officer, she doesn't have to wait for forensic analysis to come back. She doesn't have to wait for autopsy. She doesn't have to go to meetings to consult with detectives from other regions. She just simply decides to go and question somebody, and she can do it as her own time. And one of the aspects of the Lighthouse Library series is that in every book, the Classic Novel Reading Club is reading a classic novel. And I've taken a real classic novel and very loosely incorporated the plot of that book into the plot of the Lighthouse Library book in which they're reading. So, for example, in Something Red, Something Dead, they're reading The Busman's Honeymoon by Dorothy L. Sayers.
Oh, right.
And those of you that are Dorothy L. Sayers fans will remember that in Busman's Honeymoon, it's about the wedding of Lord Peter Wimsey to Harriet Vane, and how his sister-in-law attempts to interfere with his plans for the wedding and the honeymoon, and how they manage to basically trick the sister-in-law into believing that she's planning the honeymoon, where they go ahead and do what they want themselves. And I also try and have the way of, you know, getting around the interfering relatives. And that's fun. As I said in my earlier segment talking to Gwen, I write these books because I have fun with them, and that to me is fun, to take a really well-known book and see how I could maybe twist it to my own aims.
How do you manage to publish 4 books in 12 months?
Okay, I guess I just write a lot. I write all the time. I'm fairly prolific. I always have been, and I, for no reason that I can explain, except that I do write every day when I'm at home. 3 to 5 hours every day, every morning. I start in the morning. And because I'm not a very disciplined person, I have to be disciplined. So I have set myself up with a writing space. And that's also, my writing space is a separate computer on which I do nothing but write my books. It's not connected to, I've never set up email, I've never set up Facebook or anything else. So that I'm not tempted to be opening the email to see what the latest news is on Facebook or anything like that. My writing computer is dedicated to my writing.
You have a news story about the residents of Rudolph as well, where Christmas is celebrated all year round. And that's coming out in August. So give us a preview of that novel. When is it to be released?
Okay, August 27th, and it's called Silent Night, Deadly Night. And it's part of the year-round Christmas series from Penguin Random House. It's the 4th book in the series. Another cozy series again. This time, basically, it's about a character that owns a Christmas-themed gift store. In this case, it's about her mother. As I keep saying, you know, that the character has to have a reason for getting involved and trying to solve the murder. And in one case, in this book rather, it's her mother has a reunion of her old university friends. They get together after 40 years at their mother's house for a weekend, and one of them ends up dead. So, of course, she has to intervene because, you know, it's her mother's friend who's been killed, and suspicion falls upon the group of friends.
Right.
Again, just okay. A nice, light, fun read set in Christmas Town.
And now I should just ask you a quick question about your 4th series, your series for Kensington.
Yeah, I have a new series for Kensington.
It's new, is it? I thought, will this be the first?
The first book won't be out till next year. Okay, so we have a whole another year to go. It's called the Tea by the Sea Mysteries, set in a tea house, traditional afternoon tea room that serves traditional afternoon tea in the English fashion. The character's grandmother was a kitchen maid at a stately English home in her youth, so she's very much up, you know, how to have proper afternoon tea. There's lots of eating and drinking of tea in this book, which actually I like. I've been buying Tea Time magazine and various magazines and reading all these recipes for scones and sweets and special sandwiches and all that. So that's going to be, it's actually going to be quite food oriented. When I was in Vancouver quite recently, which I was like just last week, I went to Murchie's tea shop and had a special talk with the woman who worked there, who talked to me all about all the different teas and how they blend their teas and all that sort of stuff. So I'm learning all about tea.
Well, that sounds fun. It's always good to feel one's learning something.
That's right.
Yes. Well, how about reading to us from another of your new books?
Okay, I thought I would read a section here from Something Red, Something Dead, where I mentioned when we were chatting about how in A Busman's Honeymoon, Lord Peter Wimsey and Harriet Vane have to discourage Lord Peter's sister-in-law from getting involved in their wedding plans. So in Something Red, Something Dead, my character, whose name, by the way, is Lucy Richardson, Lucy, having read Busman's Honeymoon, thinks, well, what would Lord Peter Wimsey do? And therefore, I will do the same. In this case, in this book, the interfering cousin's name is Mirabel. My idea for distracting Mirabel seemed to be succeeding. Yesterday, I'd made a quick couple of salads and we'd eaten lunch in my apartment while we looked over her magazines and she made copious notes. If I felt a touch of guilt at deliberately making her waste her time, it was soon dispelled when I realized the extent of her ambitions. A yacht would be rented and fully decorated and we'd sail out to sea for the ceremony, followed by a champagne toast and canapés served by circulating waiters. I was about to close up the magazines and say that all sounded good to me, when Mirabel said, and then came the reception, a sit-down dinner for 200 people at the yacht club. I really think you need to talk to Josie and Uncle Amos and Aunt Ellen about this, I said. Before we go any further, they might not want to spend this much. It's their only daughter's first wedding. Of course they want the best for her. It's going to be Josie's only wedding, I said. She laughed. That's what they all say, honey. I'm thinking dark blue for the bridesmaids' dresses. That'll look best in the photos with the background of the sea and setting sun. The sun doesn't set over the sea in North Carolina. It rises. We can move the boat to get the best shots. She made a note on her phone. I'll talk to my contacts. What contacts? Mirabel continued typing. At the magazine. I met a style editor from Weddings on Water at a bridal show last month. She'll know what she wants. Why do we care what someone at a magazine wants? Oh, didn't I say? Her laughter was tinged with embarrassment. No, you didn't say. Why do you care what someone at a magazine thinks? I don't. Josie doesn't. You remember Josie, don't you? The bride? Of course I remember Josie, silly. She's so beautiful. Lucky thing that in the right dress and accessories, we might even make the cover. Doesn't hurt that Jake's totally hot. Oh, right. They have the look of models, but their wedding will be real. She beamed at me. Exactly. I'm so glad we're on the same page, Lucy. She leaned closer and lowered her voice. Just between you and me, Florence is having a terrible time with her little wedding planning company, which is why she needs my help. She doesn't get it about advertising and marketing. Success is its own advertisement, right? If we get a spread in Weddings on Water, we'll be turning customers away. Do you think Jake should wear a business suit or maybe something more nautical? How about a bathing suit? As though he's about to dive off the boat into the sea. For a moment, Mirabel actually looked as though she was taking my suggestion seriously. Then she shook her head. No, that might imply he's having cold feet. Not a good idea. I mumbled. We'll allow Josie's mother to have her little shower on Sunday because the invitations have already gone out. That's kind of you. But I don't think she even heard me. We'll have the real shower later. She made another note. I'll check into availability at the yacht club. We can have the food served on platters decorated to look like boats and hang those colored flags that supposedly mean something to sailors around the room. Even if it's a nice day, perhaps we can use an outdoor space. Everyone can dress in their best sailing outfits. Won't that be fun? An absolute riot, I said, as all my misgivings about deceiving Mirabel fled. She wanted to use Josie's wedding, and thus Amos and Ellen's money, for nothing but her own ends. I texted at Ellen and Josie after Mirabel left. Summer wedding at sea plans are underway. Play along. Oh. Thank you.
So, thank you very much, Vicky. That was fun. Many thanks to Vicky Delaney, Canada's one-woman crime wave, for catching us up on her current work.
Thank you very much for asking me.
So where can our listeners buy your books, Vicky?
My books are generally available pretty much everywhere, online, Chapters in Indigo, and most local independent bookstores, such as Books and Company in Picton or Let's Talk Books in Coburg. If they're not there, you know, always ask. And, of course, your local library as well.
Yep. Okay, thank you. And to connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for who we might interview in future programs to us at our website, wordonthehills.com, where all these programs are archived and available to listeners at any time. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.